In a lot of ways, Chicago Bulls president Arturis Karnasovan, that's the Chicago Bulls franchise, find themselves right back where they were in 2020. Let's think about it this way, right? The 2020-21 season was the first season under the new regime. Billy Donovan, Arturis Karnasovan, Mark Eversley, the Bulls had moved on from Gar Pax, who had ran the team for years at that point in time, and they came into that season wanting to evaluate the young talent on the roster. They did that. They reset. And another reset is coming again in 2026. New roster, young talent. But there are some key differences where the Chicago Bulls still have a lot of their first round, all of their first round picks. So we'll talk about how AK has found himself right back where he began at. And can he do it differently and right this time? We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And AK is right back where he started at, right? And I want to frame it this way. When you look at when AK came in during the 2020-21 season, right? That's where he came in. He took over the team. He had drafted Patrick Williams. And that was a team that he came into that season wanting to evaluate what was going to happen during that season, right? Patrick Williams had a really good, promising rookie year. I think sometimes we've been so far removed from that, we can forget how different Patrick Williams looked in his rookie season versus now. And there's some reasons for that, but that's not what this is about, right? AK came into that season and wanted to evaluate the young talent. That was the talent that Gar Forman and John Paxson had accumulated over the previous couple of years with their year, the three straight years of the number seventh overall pick. And a lot of those players were moved. You look at players like Daniel Gafford, Wendell Carter, Chandler Hutchinson, with a vet like Otto Porter Jr., were all sent out, and we brought back instead Nikola Vucevic, Daniel Tice, more veterans. But we gave up a lot of our first round picks in that. Right now, we also went on to trade Lauri Markkanen in the summer of 2021, which then led us to be primed in that summer to start making moves to reset the roster. We brought in Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan. We added that to the player in Nikola Vucevic we acquired at the trade deadline last year. And I mean, the year prior to that. And that is where the Bulls were hoping to build something that then was going to be the base, right? Something that they could be a playoff team, and then they could start adding key things that they needed to. And for what it was worth, that first season after that trade, that's where everything came together. The 2021-22 season was not only one of the best Chicago Bulls seasons that we've had in the last decade, it was the best that we had under Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnasovan. We had a 56% win percentage that year. We won 46 games, and the Bulls were hoping that that was going to be a jumping-off point then at that point for us. The following offseason added Andre Drummond. They were hoping Lonzo Ball was going to come back in the middle of that year, ended up being another 2 years before he came back. But in a lot of ways, we find ourselves right back where we were, right, before all that. We've now, when you look at this offseason, we've traded away a lot of players that were a part of this core for a long time. Players like Kobe White, gone. Ayo Dosunmu, gone. Kevin Huerter, who wasn't here for a long time, but those players are gone. Nikola Vucevic, the player that we acquired at the last reset that was kind of the marker of the last reset. That was the first move of the last reset that it's clear the Bulls were trying to go into win now. Nikola Vucevic is gone, right? And so now the Bulls find themselves in a similar situation where they're trying to reset now again. Now, the difference is that with that last build, they gave up three first-round picks. Three first-round picks that ended up becoming kind of timely and hurting the Chicago Bulls because the team just got worse year after year after that, right? And the question now becomes, can they build something more sustainable? And they're trying to do it around youth, right? When AK went all in on his moves during the 2021 season and 2021 summer, right, he gave up three first-round picks to build that team. Three first-round picks to build that team. This time, AK is way more focused around youth, right? Not giving up any first-round picks to move off of these players. They didn't acquire any either, which is a sticking point for a lot of fans, and understandably so. But when players that AK have called as part of the core, Josh Giddey, Montrezl Bozelis, Noah Essengay, Trey Jones, Jalen Smith, these are the players that he's called part of the Bulls' core. They have a combined age of 23 years old. When you look at the combined age of the core of the last build, the Alex Caruso, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, they were all still pushing near 30 in that case, right? And then by the end of that, of course, and that's why the Bulls moved on. And then you still have players like Rob Dillingham and Leonard Miller who are trying to prove that they can be part of this reset and part of the core. Those guys are 21 and 22 years old, right? You then add in the top 10 pick that we're destined to have this offseason is a top 10 pick. And you're starting to look at the Bulls are, a lot younger with players that AK, for what it's worth, is going to view as the core. The question is, how good can the core be? We don't even know, because we don't even know who the pick in 2010 is going to be yet, right? So, but you've reset and become much younger, which is good. That's good. You want to be younger. You want to be in that spot where you're a much younger team, and especially if you're building, you have all your own first round picks. You want to be that. The Bulls are where exactly they want to be. They're younger right now, right? And this gives you more time and more leeway. Now, I still have my suspicions and my thoughts that the Bulls are still going to look to add in free agency this year. They're going to try to add, whether it be through restricted free agency, trades, or outright free agency, with a player like Isaiah Hartenstein being potentially being an unrestricted free agent, if the rumors are true and the Thunder are ready to opt out of that contract to save them some money. And so this is the spot again where AK has an opportunity here, not only to build something that's more sustainable, because so much of it is youth. And really, when you look at it as well, of course, players like Zach Collins, but I didn't mention him as part of the core. No, SGA did lose his rookie season because of injury, but I'm not ready to call him injury prone yet. Hopefully you don't have, like, a big part of that last build was AK's reliance on Lonzo to make it all work together. Lonzo was, regardless of the level and caliber of player that he was really the glue that made all that fit, and it was never the same once he went down. Everybody's talked about it since then. DeMar's talked about it. Zach has talked about it. Vooch has talked about it several times. And they talked about how important Lonzo was to getting all those players on the right page and playing together. So the hope now is that you're doing it with a younger core. Hopefully you don't have pieces that are injury prone as much of it to where it's going to be as fragile. But you still also have your own first round picks. That last build, when things started going left for the Bulls and they weren't able to make the playoffs, they were giving up their first round pick. If you look at some of those years where they weren't, if they had their own first round pick, maybe we still look at that team a little bit differently as far as the base that they have right now, right? And so that AK finds himself, again, to go back, circle back to it, right back where you began at. And now you have this place in a roster with tons of flexibility. You have potentially, you know, two first-round picks because, hey, by the way, don't look now, but the Portland Trailblazers are right at the 8th seed where I wanted them to be, because now they're going to have two opportunities to get one win to get into the play-in. We have 3 weeks left in the season. We got to hope that the Portland Trailblazers are going to hold on to that pick, because if they do, that means that then the Bulls would have the 15th overall pick in the draft. And when you look at players around there, that's where you can start getting your bigs, your quintessence, right? The players, the Jaden, the players that like Thomas Howell, your Koa Peach, right? They're right slated to go around that area. So we'll see what the Chicago Bulls can do with it. We got to see if the Portland Trailblazers can hold on to this 8th seed. There's still a lot of season left to be played. They find themselves right there, so the Bulls can have those two first-round picks, which is really good. The question now is, does AK have the patience, and does he have the structure as well? You know, one of my biggest things and my biggest problems that I bring is, do we have the right development staff here for the Chicago Bulls? And with you betting so much on youth and so much of your team being young, you better hope that development piece is going to be on point, because if it's not, that's where things are going to blow up for you, and you could have some young talent but not be able to maximize on it. That's kind of what Paxson and Gar had at one point in time, right? So we'll see, right? I do still think, and I want to be clear here, AK, I think, is going to try to make moves to get this team right back to competing for the play-in next year. I'm not saying that they're going to be successful in it, but they're going to try. Whether that's putting offer sheets on Walker Kessler, Tari Eason, Mark Williams, trying to sign an Isaiah Hartenstein, if he is, the contract is not picked up by the Oklahoma City Thunder, he is going to try to do something. I don't think he's necessarily wrong in doing that. Adding key veterans around your youth is not the problem. The problem was that the Bulls took away from developing the youth by some of the players they had. So you got to add some key players in some certain areas to get that done. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen here. And overall, I'll just say this, man. To circle all the way back around here, and this is why I said about AK a few years ago, right, is that AK was terrified to take a smaller step back for the longer, more sustainable big step forward. And now it seems like he's willing to do that. But now we got to hope that he gets these picks right, which for a lot of Bulls fans is already some problems there. So we'll see what can come out of it with that one. But with that said, I want to move into the next topic. I got to keep the same energy. I want to talk about Rob Dillon. I talked about games where Rob Dillingham did not play well. And Rob Dillingham slowly but surely has put together 5 really good games for the Chicago Bulls. When you look at it, in his first 13 games with the Chicago Bulls, Rob Dillingham averaged 19 minutes. He made 6.4 points per game, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists, right? He was shooting 34% from the field and 20% from three-point range. Over the last 5 games, he's averaging 25 minutes per game with 14 points, 2.8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.2 steals, and he's shooting 50% from the field and 40% from 3. Now, those aren't numbers where you're looking at it and saying, oh my God, Rob Dillingham is him or anything, but you are looking at it and saying, there's some confidence being built here. Now, I personally still think Rob Dillingham, a lot of his time is still coming. A lot of his big numbers over those three of those five games have come in garbage time. But you're building the confidence. And that's the important part for a player like Rob, who admittedly has lost confidence when he was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you're hoping that he's going to continue using the confidence to keep playing well and to go ride that into the offseason, hopefully come back with a different mindset and ready to contribute, right? And so we'll see, right? He's only averaging as well 1.6 turnovers off those four assists, which that was one of the biggest knocks I had for him, is that even though the passing stood out to me, he had so many turnovers in that you really couldn't take an advantage of it. So now that he's averaging more assists than turnovers and more steals than turnovers, it puts you in a spot where you're like, Rob Dillingham is actually turning into a decent bench player for the Chicago Bulls. And I think this, right, when you look at getting Leonard Miller and Rob Dillingham back for Ayo Dosunmu, that trade could end up being not a loss for the Bulls. I'm not saying that either one of those guys are going to end up better than Ayo, right? But you can look at it and say, well, the Bulls got two nice pieces out of it, whereas initially it just looked like a hell of a trade, right? So, you know, that's my thought process and mindset on it. We'll see if those guys continue to develop. But I wanted to spend some time on this episode because I have been criticizing him, keeping the same energy and say, Rob Dillingham has been playing pretty damn well statistically, whether it's coming in garbage time or not. We're a tanking team. A lot of our games are going to be garbage time. He's looking pretty good. Keep doing it. We'll see how it comes off into next year. But if Leonard Miller and Rob Dillingham keep looking like they've been looking, hey, Bulls got some bench pieces. And I know that some people are going to say, like, bench, they're bench. But, hey, you need players off the bench. Every winning team needs that. So we'll see if those guys can turn into that for the Chicago Bulls. But it is Saturday. That means it is mailbag day. Let's get into these voicemails, man, that we got today. We got four we got to get into. This first one, this one's from Nev.
Hey, this is Nev. Just calling to say a few things. One, Rob Dillingham. He's been playing a little better, more in control and more within himself lately, which is great to see. I know he's a little wild. I think he goes a little faster than he needs to, and it goes into him turn over the ball and, you know, making silly plays. But he's been playing a little better, so I guess somebody's been talking to him about his play and trying to contain all of the speed and explosiveness he has. And mind you, I know he's very small, but he's very explosive. So if they could just harness that somehow, I think maybe we could have a spark plug off the bench. He definitely has to hit the weight from him. He must hit the weight from this offseason aggressively, get a little bigger. The jump shot seems to be falling lately, which is good. He has a good live, you know, he's good at throwing live to the big man, so that's good and promising. And maybe, you know, we could walk away with this IO trade and look at it as a win, or at least an equal trade, especially including Leonard Miller, who also mentioned real fast. He's been playing excellent. My thing about him, he's 6'10", so he's very disruptive on a defensive end. I've noticed him. So he's been disrupting a lot of shots of players, and I think his presence alone on the defensive end is worth it. He has to, you know, improve on his three shot, but he's been pretty good. And hopefully we continue to play him over Patrick Williams, who's a lost cause. Last thing is Acuff. That's my draft crush right now. I want Acuff, man. If you could get him somehow, that would be great. But I don't know if we'll be in position to draft him. Either way, that's all I have to say. Take it easy. Go Bulls.
Dillingham has been improving. Right. And like I said before, a lot of his games have come in garbage time still, a lot of those stats. But the confidence is the most important part. And you're seeing him play with better confidence. You're seeing him play with better direction. You're seeing him come in and get and he doesn't seem as lost out there. And that's where you can start. Now that you look at it this way, you needed to clear the deck of the loss of confidence. The first thing the Bulls needed to do is build his confidence back up based off what he lost being in Minnesota. You've now done that. He's gotten the confidence back, right? If he keeps that up this season, now you can work in the offseason with a player that's gained confidence because of the way that the end of the season, and hopefully come back into training camp ready to go. Go into training camp with that mode, because he's going to have to still fight and battle for minutes. Come into training camp with that mode. And if he does that, hey, the sky ends up maybe being the limit for Rob Dillingham. So we'll see. But you pair that with Leonard Miller's play as well, hey, we got some things that could be cooking here. All right, let's get into this next voicemail, man. This one's from Sherrod.
Hold on. Hey, this is Sherrod. Just wanted to call and touch base with you on what you talked about on last episode. I'm always a proponent in developing young players. I mean, you can't never go wrong with that if you really look at around the league. If you look at the Thunder, if you look at Boston, if you look at Detroit, if you look at Houston, they develop a lot of young players. to become the teams that they are right now, but it's all hands on good coaching and a good development staff. Our players, we have something we're trying to work on, we're trying to build something, but I don't have the faith in the coaching. So I agree with you. Evaluating Billy Donovan is a big thing because I wouldn't want him touching any of my young players. I mean, it's amazing that this dude gets put on such a high standard as a coach when we're watching him here night in and night out and we see his deficiencies. It's amazing to me, but hey, I don't think he should touch our young players coming in, but I'm always a proponent in developing. Leonard Miller, I mean, you can't teach 6'10", 6'11", with that type of length, with that type of, you know, motor he has. I mean, since he's been here, he's done nothing but get better. You know, the more time he gets, the better he gets, the more of an asset you can see he being now. Being a star? Nah. But definitely a really good role player, something we can bring off the bench that could help us in different circumstances, different situations. All part of development, the development of Modest. Do you really want to leave that in Billy Donovan's hands? Hell no. You know what I'm saying? Modest got a lot he really needs to touch on, and the main thing he needs to really get better at is his IQ. And we see that that's not a big Billy Donovan thing, especially Josh, too. I mean, Josh is just physically gifted in the things that he do well. It's the IQ or the mistakes that he make, you can see that he needs to be developed. And whenever we go in and draft, wherever we're drafting at, we don't really want Billy Donovan putting his imprint on that. I mean, how could you teach a player not to really take mid-range? You're limiting that player to being a driver and a spot-up shooter. Like, it's crazy. In order for that player to develop, he needs to develop all of the phases of his game. And I don't trust AK as far as I can throw him either. You can tell he doesn't like to be wrong. And he holds on too much to his decisions way beyond than they need to be. He don't want to be wrong about Billy. He didn't want to be wrong about Booch. He didn't want to be wrong about any of the players he brought in. He held on too long. And in that...
Chances are very high that Billy Donovan is still going to be the coach going forward. So all we can hope for is that the refocus around youth and Billy Donovan and the staff can focus around them. Now, I will say this. Dan Craig and Wes Unseld, part of the reason I was high on those guys when they were hired is they've been heads of player development. They have led the development of teams like Nikola Jokic, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Michael Porter Jr. Like, those were the two guys that those teams, they were ahead of the development of those guys. And so you got to look at that and say, all right, well, cool. Like, how can we continue this, right? And so, you know, hopefully that those guys – are going to be part of the reason why the development focus here starts getting better and we start seeing a better gear towards development now that we're focused more towards youth. And let's hope that that ends up being the case. That's all we can hope for there. So, but, you know, the lack of the mid-range, I think I've talked about it ad nauseum at this point. I think everybody kind of knows how I feel about the lack of mid-range shooting by the Chicago Bulls. And that is a Billy Donovan-ism and one that I hope that, you know, he really reevaluates this offseason after so much conversation around it and we can incorporate. Again, you know, the Bulls take 4% of their shots in the mid-range. When you get up to 10, 12%, you're in the top 4 or 5 in the NBA in that. So, you know, it's not about all of a sudden, like, tripling the percentage. It's just about, hey, like, more than 4% of your shots should be mid-range shots, in my personal opinion. But, all right, let's move on from that, man. Let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Jeremy.
Hey, what's up, Hayes? It's your boy Jeremy down here in Oklahoma. Just wanted to touch base on a few things. I know the pro tankers are freaking losing their shit because, you know, we won, but I'm, you know, 100% I agree with you. And, you know, I don't want guys out there just trying to lose on purpose. And I'm really excited because, I mean, Mattis has shown exactly what we wanted to see, you know, with this time, you know, getting more touches, you know, being a little more of the focal point. And, you know, I'm just really happy what I'm seeing with Mattis. You know, hopefully next year we can get a solid, you know, 20 to 25 a game for him. Just keep on improving. You know, same with Giddy. You know, I just love seeing them guys still fighting, still building chemistry, and that's the whole fucking point. You know, we're not trying to go out. I wouldn't want them, you know, going out there trying to lose on purpose, definitely. So I love seeing Mattis and Giddy, you know, out there, you know, trying to win. You know, Miller looks good. I'm like you. It's been a sample size, but hopefully he develops a thing. Miller, you know, with Noah, just like you said, the length, we go from being, you know, one of the smallest, shortest teams, and we're going to have some lanky guys out there that can actually move around. Hopefully we can find that center to plug in there and be that loud threat. But, you know, I'm just really excited what I'm seeing. Hopefully Mattis continues to develop. So, you know, he did exactly what I wanted to see this year. You know, I didn't have crazy expectations. I didn't think he's going to be an immediate superstar. But, you know, if he can get to a solid, you know, average 20 points next year, you know, work on a couple of other things. But, you know, let's get to 20, 25 points and just keep on building from there. But, you know, I don't believe in the tank all the way. I'm wrapping it up. But, you know, we're going to end up where we are. So I just really our guys go out there and fight till the end. So, you know, peace out. See Red.
No tankers are going to cry all season. They're going to cry at every win. They're going to cry when the Bulls don't move into the top four in the lottery. They're going to cry, you know, when the Bulls, you know, don't draft the player that they want to. Oh, by the way, when the Bulls don't move into the top four of the lottery, they're going to go back and cry at every win and try to find which game they can blame it on, like they did with the Lakers game last year with Josh Giddey and that costing the team Cooper Flagg. All that type of stuff. They're going to cry overall, and you can't worry about the pro tankers because they're built inherently to just cry and whine and complain. But as far as the hope for development, that's all we really have. I mean, all we really have is that the hope that we're going to develop these guys right, that we're going to develop them correctly, and that we got the right guys. And as we continue to grow and develop that, cool, let's see what we got in them. And that's really all we can hope for. And, you know, here's the thing. So much of a player's development as well is done by what they choose to do in the offseason, not just during the regular season. And those are things that also, because like Modest is going to work with other I hope he goes work with Dribble Too Much, right? We saw Modest last year even still work with Peter Patton, even though he wasn't with the Chicago Bulls officially. He hired him as his own. Like, so a lot of development is on the players as well. They choose and have ownership over their development with what they choose to do in the offseason. Let's see what they get done. All right, let's get into this last voicemail, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, man? This is Shay. Look, I'm not concerned about Modest Bouzalis and Josh Giddey and their development, because I know that they're going to get better. The question and the worry that I have is this. Will AK, and especially Billy Donovan, be able to, are the right ones to capitalize on their development and how they prosper? Now, I know people are going to say, well, they're going to have to because they're the head coach and he's the GM, but I really hope that AK and Billy know what they're doing when it comes to, like, helping, like, build around Modest Bouzalis and Josh Giddey, because that's one of the reasons why, yeah, we had Derrick Rose, he won the MVP season, he was a star player for us, but I think one of the main problems of why he had to do so much is due to the fact that I don't believe John Paxson took the right decisions in terms of drafting or free agency to build around him. And then when he did get, like, other players in here, and when Jimmy Butler, like, became who he was, it was a little too late. And I just hope that that's not the case for Modest nor Josh Giddey. You know, they got the skill set, they got the mindset of wanting to be better, but is AK and Billy Donovan going to put the right pieces around them for them to be better, for them to make consistent playoff runs, and hopefully maybe even compete for a championship? I don't know, man. I just hope that they don't waste away those two guys' talents. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
One of the biggest reasons for doubts around whatever the Bulls do is Arturas Karnišovas and Billy Donovan. For a lot of fans, no matter what the Bulls do, they're going to doubt AK and the decisions that he's make, they're going to doubt Billy Donovan and the decisions he make, and it's fair, right? And that's the reputation that they have earned, what they've done since they've been running the Chicago Bulls, and that's just the reality of it. But looks, the chances are they're staying here, they're going to still be here, and all we can hope for is that a change of direction that they chose, right, and especially Billy Donovan, if he chooses to stay here after this meeting they're having this offseason, they chose to be a part of this direction. So dive all the way into it, buy into it, and then make it the best that you can. That's all we can really hope for this team. And let's hope that this shift actually ends up being fruitful and works out for the Chicago Bulls. That's all we can hope for, bro. But that's going to do it for today's episode, y'all. I want to hear from you guys. Do you trust AK to get it right this time? I think I already know the answer there. And are we heading towards another failed rebuild? How are you feeling as things stand right now? I also want to know, how do you feel about Rob Dillingham in his last five games as well? Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel as well. Drop your thoughts in the comment section down below. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Break Media. When you've got Omaha Steaks convenient everyday protein waiting at home, that what's for dinner panic turns into your weeknight win. And now's the time to buy during the Omaha Steaks Spring Savings event. Save big on their exclusive lineup of mouthwatering steaks, gourmet burgers, air-chilled chicken, pork, seafood, and more. Go to omahasteaks.com for an extra $35 off when you use promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.